So if you would turn with me to Matthew 13. If you are in need of a Bible, please raise your hands and the usher will hook you up. And we are reading from the NASB version. But before we get into the word, let's just do a quick word of prayer. Jesus, we just thank you for your faithfulness. And even this morning, you know, we went through a lot of announcements and prayers, Lord, but we can just see your faithfulness and the people responding to your faithfulness as well. So we thank you and acknowledge all that you are doing at Solomon's Porch in our community, Lord. And we just want to pray for today's word, Lord. Would you use me to just speak your word in power, in love, in truth, God, that would hold nothing back to share your word today, Lord. And would you give us today ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you would turn with me to Matthew 13, we're going to read from verse 1 to 23. All right. That day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. A large crowd gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell to the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out, and others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given." Excuse me. "And he will have in abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Amen. Amen. So, Pastor Sam, he is away for his annual sabbatical vacation. So he's back in LA, just being refreshed, spending quality time with his kids. Pray for him. That will really be quality time and he won't go crazy with his kids. And that he just really makes the most of it, right? And give him just energy to come back and be refreshed. So in this time, for these 4 weeks, I'm preaching today. And then it's going to be Jackie. And then it's going to be P. Andrew and P. Mary. So we wanted to do what Pastor Sam told us to do, a series. So we're doing a series on parables. So first, what are parables? What are parables? So parables are stories that help us to understand the spiritual. All right? Help us to understand the spiritual. They are stories that take place in the natural, okay? And they point to the spiritual. So that's what a parable is. The word parable comes from the Greek word. Let's put it up there. Is it up there? Comes from the Greek word. That's how I wanted to say it. I want to say it like Italian. Parabole. Right? With gusto. So when I was like, oh, that's parabole. I might be totally off. It's not based on anything. But that's how I wanted to say it. But in Hebrew, it's pronounced... Let me get parabole. Parabole. So would you turn to your neighbor and say, parabole. Parabole. All right? And if you see on the screen, parabole, it literally means to put side by side. Okay? Side by side. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's putting side by side the natural and the spiritual. So why parables? And Jesus speaks in a parable, and right away the disciples respond with, why do you speak to them in parables? I mean, did you ever think that too? Why are you speaking in parables? Jesus, why don't you just be super clear with what you're trying to communicate so that we can understand and then we can just do exactly what you want us to do, right? Wouldn't that make sense? So there are three reasons why Jesus spoke in parables. The first, I kind of mentioned, it was a teaching tool to explain the spiritual, okay? And the second reason is Jesus is fulfilling prophecy. That's why he's speaking in parables. Jesus, in verse 13, he says, therefore I speak to them in parables. He's explaining to the disciples, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And so when he says, therefore I speak to them in parables, he's actually referencing Psalm 78:2. And he's saying, I'm about to fulfill this. And in Psalm 78:2, it says, I will open up my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And then, so he's saying, I'm about to, as I share, I'm fulfilling prophecy, right? And then in their case, in later, he says, in their case, at verse 14, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and so on and so forth. And so here he is referencing Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. And so he's pointing out the crowds who are listening are also fulfilling prophecy. So he's pointing all this out because he wanted the disciples to know that the prophets and their prophecy had announced in advance that the Messiah would come speaking in parables and how the crowds would also react according to prophecy. And so Jesus is making a statement to his disciples, I am the Messiah. So he's making a statement to them. And then the third reason, why is he speaking in parables? It's basically to keep things a secret, right? To keep things a secret. So in verse 12, and this is the amplified version I'm going to read. It's on the screens. It says, for whoever has, I want to highlight this, for whoever has spiritual wisdom because he is receptive to God's word. Spiritual wisdom because he is receptive to God's word. To him more will be given, and he will be richly and abundantly supplied. But whoever does not have spiritual wisdom because he has devalued God's word, even what he has will be taken away from him. So you could say, you know, the parables are like a coded message, right? And in order to decode this message, you need a key. And this key is basically someone who is receptive to God's word. So if you want this word, then you need to be receptive. So keep in mind, he's speaking to the crowd. It's a whole mix of people, right? Whole mix. Some people are hungry. They've been following. They just hang off every word Jesus is speaking. Some are coming, judging, being very cynical, right? Having ulterior motives and plans. The Sadducees, the Pharisees. So a mix of people. And those with the key who have a receptive word to the word of God, they will understand. The mysteries will be explained, right? And I just think of, for you and me, when we read the Bible and we're just reading, going, doing our quiet time, reading the word, and when you get to a spot in the Bible where something just doesn't make sense, right? Maybe Jesus says something, and you're like, huh? Maybe the disciples react in a certain way. Huh? Why'd they do that? What do you do? Do you just pause? And you start to ask, what's going on here? Are you hungering to find out why? Or do you just keep going? Right? Because I need to complete my 5 chapters. Right? I have 30 minutes to read his word. And I just want to get through as much as possible. And I can say when I'm at that mode of just powering through things, at the end, I don't actually really remember what I read, right? And that's exactly what's going on. It says, because he has devalued God's word, even what he has will be taken away. Or even right now, you're in Sunday service, right? Are you here because you're hungering for God's word to touch you? Are you hungry for the word of God? Or are you just counting the seconds, the minutes, because you're hungering to fill your belly afterwards? You guys might have already eaten, so you guys should be okay. Maybe more first service people, right? But really, what is going on? And I can say, I have an example. A few years ago, 3-4 years ago, we had a men's retreat. Anyone around for that men's retreat 3-4 years ago? Okay. A few of you. Good. I don't know why I said good. But anyway, so 3-4 years ago, we had a men's retreat, and I gotta tell you, men's retreat is intense, right? It hasn't changed. It's always been intense. So 3-4 year old men's retreat, same right now. It's intense. We wake up early. We have morning prayer here for the first day. Second day, we have early morning prayer again. I think it's even earlier. I think it's like at 6 or 6:30. Everyone comes, and you're like, crazy bedhead. Just rolled out. You know, no one brushed their teeth for that morning. So we're early, and then right after that, we have a session, and then after that session, we have men's Olympics. I don't know. It's like competition, and it's intense. It's like push-ups. We do like, it's like every Olympic event we do, and then we make up some more, and it's just go, 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 go. And I can say, I am so tired at these men's retreats. So by the time we get to the message, it's like whoever's speaking, they need to bring it, right? And like really like catch my attention. And for this 1 year, 3-4 years ago, we had a retreat speaker who just talked like this. Please open the word in your Bible to 1 John. You know, it was like that. It was super monotone. Super quiet, low energy. And quite honestly, I had no idea what was going on. I confess, my reaction was like, oh my gosh, I'm so bored as a staff. And so at the end of each session, we would get into small groups and we would share with one another as men what was going on. And whoever is the leader, you're the luckiest because you asked the question. And the question is, how or what how did the message speak to you? And it was just like awkward silence. I was like, because I just didn't get anything. And luckily, we had one person in that men's group. And he just ate it up. He was so inspired. And it was like the word was so good that after he shared it, we were inspired. And so we had really good discussion based on his sermon recap. It was like he like reinterpreted it for us. And so anyway, this is 3-4 years ago. Last year, or maybe it was this year, anyway, I caught up with this brother. And we're just sharing about life. How you doing? He's, you know, he's really thriving here at Solomon's Porch. He's growing a lot. He might be here. Anyway. And he was just sharing his journey into being at Solomon's Porch. And he's like, oh, yeah, it all the turning point was for me was that men's retreat. I was like, that men's retreat? Really? And he's like, yeah, that was a turning. Everything that was spoken to me, like I just ate it up and it changed my life. That was the turning point. I was like, wow. And that just goes back to this, right? Whoever is receptive to God's word, to him will be given and he will be richly and abundantly supplied. Abundantly, more than you could ever want, more than you need. That's what happens when you hunger for the word of God. But because anyone who has devalued God's word, even what he has will be taken away from him. So if you were to ask me what was spoken at that retreat, and even though I was inspired, I remember like, oh yeah, what he's sharing is so good. I actually don't remember it at all. All was taken away from me. And this is, we're just referring to, this is like just spiritual truth, the word, the Bible. But parables, it's even more so, right? That is the intention of the parables. So say with me, I am receptive to God's word. Okay. So we're getting into the parable now. This is the parable of the sower. And this is the first parable that Jesus actually shares, pretty much. And so I'm just being like Jesus. I'm just following in steps. So that is the first parable as well. And, you know, we just came back from retreat. We're 4 days with RT and Bobby. They're just sharing their wealth of knowledge. They've lived long, fruitful lives full of experience and wisdom. And they just shared it with us, right? And one thing that caught my attention was when Bobby came, and maybe because I'm doing parable of the sower, he said, I'm here today to sow seeds into your heart. That's what I want to do. Some of you are nodding. I'm glad. So you guys remember that. And so all of us experience the same thing, right? We all receive the same word that was sowed into us. All of us experience the same worship and same ministry time, right? All of us pretty much receive the same thing that was sowed into us. And yet, with certainty, we can say different people will probably respond differently, right? There's probably different responses. And this is exactly what this parable illustrates, the different types of responses. So in this parable, there are three things we really need to focus on. It's on the screen. One is the sower. The sower. A sower, if you don't know, it's kind of like a farmer, I guess. And he's the one who throws seeds out into the land. That's probably a better word. And then we have the seed, right? The seed, that's the seed. You guys know what a seed is. And the third thing is the soil. So there's three things in this parable. The sower, the seed, and the soil. So let's go through the first one. The first one is the sower. The sower is the witness, okay? The sower is the witness. And so in Jesus' final words to us, in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So We are all witnesses, right? We are all the sower. We are all called to preach the word, right? And just a quick spoiler, what is the seed? The seed is the word of God, right? So we are all called to share the word. And I just want to point out two things about the way the sower sows. So first thing is he sows very indiscriminately, right? And one thing you might say is, well, why didn't he just sow discriminately? Why didn't he just sow into the good soil? Why did he waste those seeds and not just throw it on the good soil? So 2,000 years ago, this is how agriculture was done, okay? So seed was sown broadcast style by scattering it in all directions by hand while walking up and down the field. The average rate of sowing wheat varies from 20 pounds per acre upward, which allowed for wasted seed. Fields were plowed both before the seed was sown and after, plowing across the original furrows to cover the seeds with soil. It was common for seed to be scattered on the hard paths that surrounded the fields. Birds would swoop down as the farmer walked on and eat the seed. So in this parable, that's just how it was done, right? In the natural, when someone sows seeds, it just goes everywhere. And so for us, our takeaway as the witness, as the person who is to share the word of God, we are also to do it indiscriminately. Okay? And why do we do that? Because we have no idea what is going in the hearts of those people who are receiving your word. We have no idea. You think you know, and you make presumptions, and maybe you've experienced this, where you think someone is so receptive, they're ready to receive, and you say, hey, would you like to give your life to the Lord? And they're like, I think I'm okay, right? And some people, they have a hard front, even kind of grumpy, and then you just start talking to them, and before you know it, they're ready to receive, like right there, without even really getting to know them. It just happens. You have no idea. And Alpha is probably the best example of this, right? Day one, this is from what I heard. Day one, you get these people who are like, not even just not receptive, but they must be somewhat receptive, the fact that they came, but they're like mean. It's like, hey, how do you feel about this? What do you think? And they're like, I don't want to share. You get that. And then the testimonies is they start there, and by the end, they've given their life to the Lord. They're so in love, so on fire, right? And then the other person who seems so social and so fun and, you know, so open and they're just free to share, by the end, they don't even make it to the end. They just, you know, they just not interested. So, yeah, we're just called to sow indiscriminately. And the second thing to note about the sower is when he sows, I would think, and this is for us, he sows fearlessly, right? Because he wasn't reprimanded by, I guess, the master for sowing on other soils, right? And that's for us too. We are not responsible for how people will grow, right? Our responsibility is to obey and simply sow, right? So we just obey God, we sow, and then what happens to that seed? We leave it to God to handle. Amen? So we need to sow indiscriminately, and we also need to sow fearlessly. Okay, second, the seed. The seed is the word of God. Okay? The seed is the word of God. And this is pretty straightforward, so not much to say about that. But I just want to say, you can only give what you have, right? So if you want to sow and you don't have the word of God in you, it's really hard to sow that to others. Jesus says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I've hidden your word into my heart so that I might not sin against you. So all of us, we're already called to have the word in deep in our heart, right? So that we could follow him righteously and not fall. And only by having that word can we have even anything to share. Amen? And now we get to the third. This is the soil. So the soil is the heart, okay? The soil is the heart. And one thing to note about this parable, okay, is everyone actually reacts positively, right? So one thing to note about parables are used to maybe illustrate a spiritual truth. You don't build your whole doctrine around one parable, right? Because there are situations, circumstances where people don't even receive it at all. They're super negative off the bat, right? So that's why there are a multitude of parables to teach us. So in this case, this parable deals with people who kind of have an initial positive response. Everyone will initially hear, okay? And I think of that's retreat. Retreat was like that, right? Everyone went out of the way, paid the money, went to retreat, all hoping and excited for a good thing, right? You're all initially excited. And maybe even here today, the fact that you came here, right, is already a sign that you're excited. You're here for a reason. Already some positive versus those who don't even make their way in. So there are four types of soil that are listed, okay? So there's the soil beside the road. There is the soil in rocky places. There is the soil with thorns. And then there is the good soil. The first one, the soil beside the road. So this is the hard heart, right? The soil represents the heart. So this is the hard heart. So at verse 3, this is what Jesus says. He says, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up." And then in verse 19, he says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road." So the soil that is beside the road, this is the hardest surface. How I imagine it, it'd be like concrete, right? What happens when a seed, if you threw it on concrete, does it do anything? No, it just sits there, right? And probably if you throw bird seed out, any sort of seed to pigeons, like in, I imagine, New York or Paris, what happens? The bird just eats it all up, right? And so this is the heart that is described where we have a hard heart. Same thing. The word of God comes and it's just there dormant, unable to penetrate and grow and have its roots come in. And as a result, right, the enemy, or in this case a bird, but the enemy comes, swoops down and takes that seed. Very unfortunate. And I recall myself, first time in 2003, coming to Solomon's Porch. I wasn't a Christian. The reason I came to church, because I had a German-Korean friend who I was partying with. And on Saturday, we were partying. And then he said, like, "Kenny, can you go with me to church tomorrow, Solomon's Porch? Because I promised my mom that I would go to church." So that's what brought me to Solomon's Porch. It started with clubbing. And so when I came, I was very cynical, right? All the words, like even today's worship, amazing, right? The words that were spoken. Chris spoke these words over us that, you know, we are the lion of Judah. We are sons. He said, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." During worship, the words were, what was it? "The Bible will supply our every need." Amen? "We're no longer slaves. We're a child of God." Amazing words. And if they can plant in you, wow, life-changing, right? But for me, at that time, I came with a cynical mind. And these hardened hearts, usually very cynical, just looking from outside in, right? And I remember during the worship, you know, "You give and take away, you give and take," you know, just repent. I was like, man, that is some good brainwashing. If I were to start a religion, that's what I would do. I would sing songs and just repeat those phrases, you know, "I love you, I love you," over and over and over again. So I had that hard heart. And one thing to note is there's hope. So at that time, I was not a believer. And so that word came, and then clearly the enemy came, took that word of salvation away from me. Took it away. But there are many seeds that are sown, right? Seeds are sown over and over again. And now I'm here standing before you, right? And so in that same way, you could be, I'm going to talk about this, you could be good soil, right? But after that, later that season, you could also be the hardened heart as well. So it's not a one-time thing where the seeds are sown. And next we have the soil in rocky places. Soil in rocky places. And this is the shallow heart. So in verse 5 it says, others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but it is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. So this soil says this soil is the soil in rocky places. And just to explain it a little better, so this is, imagine a bed of soil, like a thin bed of soil, and underneath is rocks, right? So what happens is when a seed is sown on this type of soil, it lands, it's able to sprout, and the roots go down, but as it goes deeper, it hits the rock, right? So it's unable to actually draw any nutrients. So what happens is, well, in this illustration, it says the sun comes and scorches. It could be numerous things coming, right? It could be the wind, it could be the cold. And usually when that happens, the roots go down and they draw the nutrients and then they're able to survive. But however, because it's not able to do that, it just withers away. And so that is also the case with those with a shallow heart. And one thing to note is this person, when they received the word of God into their life, they received it with joy. Right? So initially, I'm sure they're sincere. They're sure they're really happy. Yes, this is such a good word. Right? However, it is shallow. So when things happen in their life, when the tough gets going, when the going gets tough, right? When the going gets tough, they also go. When the going gets tough, they try to draw from the word, draw from what they know, but they are unable to. Right? So they just fall away. It says they wither away. And then next we have the soil with thorns. This is the worldly heart. Verse 7. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I'm going to also read from the Amplified Version, Matthew 13:22. And the one on whom seed was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and this is the part I want to highlight, but the worries and the distractions of the world and the deceitfulness, the superficial pleasures and delights of riches choke the word, and it yields no fruit. So this is the thorny soil. So just to clarify, thorns, they're weeds. Okay, so these are the weeds. And so the picture is, you know, a seed comes and it's actually growing on good soil. So the soil is good. Its roots are deep. It's trying to, you know, get all its nutrients, but it's surrounded by weeds. So these weeds are basically fighting over these nutrients. And as a result, it's unable to, you know, get its nutrients to survive. And that same picture is with us, right? We receive the word of God and we are planted in good soil. But then, what does it say? the worries and the distractions of the world come. And the deceitfulness, the superficial pleasures and delight, they choke the word. So we have this word, amazing word of God comes. However, there's all these things around us that basically lies, right? That come and they take away from the word of God. And have any of you guys actually done any gardening before? Anyone from North America with a backyard who's done a little? All right, this is like double for service. And so if you've done any gardening, I did a little, I wouldn't even say gardening, but I helped out. And I remember in my backyard, for some reason, we just had a lot of beans. That's what all my parents grew, beans. And some chives, I think, or shallots. And so anyway, one of the things I would do with my parents is I would pluck out weeds. And if you've plucked out weeds before, you would know it's really satisfying. Because when you pluck it out, it's like, right? It's like, and so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But the weeds actually have really short roots. Really short roots. And another thing about weeds is, and I got this from my wife because my mother-in-law is really into gardening. And one time she was trying to pluck weeds. And she said it was really hard to actually figure out which was the weed and which was the real thing. So the weed oftentimes looks like the real thing. Ooh. And so she said there were small plants and then there would be small weeds beside it. There would be big plants and then there would be bigger weeds. And if you didn't know like the real thing, it'd be easy to mistake it. And that's the counterfeit I'm talking about, right? Just to spell it out to you guys. That's the counterfeit. There's things in our lives. There's the word of God, the promises that come. And then there's the counterfeit. Those things look like they'll satisfy you, but they're just a counterfeit. And those things are shallow, just like a weed. So easily to just pluck out, right? And so these are the words God say to us. He says, and I mentioned some during the worship. He says, we are more than conquerors, right? In Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors. We are sons and daughters, Galatians 4:7. We are so valued that Jesus would die on the cross for you. That's how valuable you are, that the Father would sacrifice his only Son just for you. And so where do we get our value from? Do we get it from this word? Or do we get it from our spouse? Do we get it from our friends? Do we get it from our pastor? Our house church leader, right? And even these things that seem good can be, what was it? It can be distraction, right? It can be a distraction. And especially now, right now is the age of instant affirmation, right? Because of, I'm referencing social media. Before social media game, how often would you be affirmed? Right? When would someone say, hey, good job. Good job. You're awesome. Maybe once a week? I don't know. I don't really remember. I don't even think you're looking for it because it's so rare. So when it happens, it's just like, oh, thank you. Maybe on your birthday once a year, they're like, oh, I hope you feel so blessed and special today. You know, happy birthday. But now it's instant, right? And I remember this was maybe a year or two ago on Facebook. You know, I took that effort. I found the best picture that I could find. It was probably of Danielle. I went through my daughter. I went through all these pictures, chose the best one, and I took all this time to tweak it so the color and everything looks really good, and I posted it on Facebook. And then, you know, so much excitement. That first 15 minutes when people start responding, right? It's like. Ooh, they actually commented. That must mean they really like it because they took the effort to actually comment, right? And then I was like getting kind of like refresh. And then I'm even like looking at, who didn't like my, right? And at that point I was like, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. But that's what happens, right? Right? We love that instant affirmation. And I hear this. The thing is, I don't even have Instagram. I am like a total Instagram noob. So much so, like, people are like, oh, like, blah, blah, Instagram. I'm like, oh, can I see it? And they give me their phone, right? And I look at it. And then, you know, on Facebook, when there's a picture, you zoom in by double tapping, right? So on Instagram, I'm like, oh. And then it's a like. And then people are like, no, I didn't want to like it. I'm like, oh, how do you, I don't know. And so from what I hear with Instagram, people are crazy about it now. Like, it's not even about posting what you're or sharing what you really love. You're actually just doing it for the sake of getting likes, right? So it's not that you love necessarily photography or travel, but because you know that is what will get you likes, that's why you take pictures. Maybe some people. That's what I heard, right? And I was talking to my cousin, and they do a food blog, and they're even saying, like, how do you get people to like, and how to get, like, comments? Because I guess on Instagram, when it's comments, that's also really, that means people care. And basically they said, how you get comments is you need to comment on people's thing. If you comment on them, they comment on you. So it's not even really about building a relationship or getting to know people. It's actually, if you comment, I'll comment. And she was just saying, oh, it's really stressful because it's a lot of work. So that's what's going on right now. Whoop. That's what's going on right now, right? We're in the age of instant affirmation. And I want to say to you, these are the distractions, right? These are the distractions of the world. I know, myself included, you know, you're sitting here in the sermon, maybe in the retreat, and you're just dying to just unlock, do a quick look, right? Just for 2 seconds. And that is a distraction. And even Jeremiah 29:11, what does it say? It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So good, right? That's, receive that, right? That's such a good word. He has a plan for you. But then the distractions come, right? We covet what other people have. Look at this person. They have an amazing job. Oh, look at this person. They're so prophetic. Look at this person. Oh, they're, you know, they just, oh my gosh, they just got in a relationship. How about me? Right? Oh my gosh, they have kids. How about me? Right? It's so easy to covet. And so, Jesus tells us, do not be anxious. Right? Do not be anxious. And so, anything that makes us anxious are actually those things that will choke the word. That will choke the word, okay? And so now we reach the last soil. This is the good soil, and this is the understanding heart. And I just want to point out, also with the worldly heart, you know, they're all not good. Only the good heart, the understanding heart, is praised by Jesus, okay? And so in the worldly heart, I know it seems like the first one's the worst because it's the hardened heart, and then it goes to the rocky soil, and then it goes to the soil with the thorns, which is the worldly heart. I know it seems like it gets less bad or it gets better, right? But actually, the worldly heart is the worst place to be in because you're miserable. Right? On one sense, you know God's promises, you want all that, but at the same time, you're so affected by the world, right? It's like there's this expectation, and it's never being met. That's the worst place to be in. Anyway, so now we're at the good soil. This is the understanding heart. In verse 8, it says, and others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Verse 23, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Amen. And so this good soil, this is the bomb. This is the bomb soil. That means it's like really good. And Jesus says, this is the soil where you can make 100 times your investments, right? I know in Hong Kong, everyone's so financially savvy. I know with cryptocurrency, everyone's like so drawn to it because of the amazing returns, right? And this is, Jesus just said, if you want to have amazing returns, 100 times, if you want to invest into the spiritual and get 100 times, you need to have good soil, right? And that 100 times is bearing fruit where the word comes, it transforms you. People even see that transformation. And how it's 100 times is your transformation touches others and they're transformed. Amen. Isn't that what you want? So that is the good soil. So how can we have good soil? How can we have good soil? How can we have an understanding heart? How can we position ourselves just to be ready to grow? So I have three things, but during the retreat, if you recall, R.T. Kendall, he challenged us as a church to pray 30 minutes a day. You remember that? And so as a result, at the end of the service, we actually just pressed in, Pastor Sam just had us press in, and we just prayed for 30 minutes, right? Just to do it. It was easy. And then the other thing he challenged was to go through a Bible plan, right? And afterwards, in our house church groups, we're discussing, and it was kind of expressed, oh, when I hear that you need to, you know, pray for at least 30 minutes a day, you have to do a Bible plan. It kind of rubs me the wrong way, right? Because it's kind of, you have to do it. Aren't we saved by grace, right? Saved by grace and not by works. Us reading more Bible or working harder, doing this, it actually doesn't get us more necessarily, right? And so that kind of happened. And we're kind of just sharing and just, but at the same time, he knew, despite what he shared, he knew that it was still good for him, right? So it wasn't like he was closed. But anyway, so the next day we had Bobby Connor. And he came and he brought it, sowing the word into our heart. And the first thing that struck me was, I mean, if you recall, he just Bible verses nonstop. Like pew, 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 pew. It's like Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse. And what struck me, and maybe you guys can complete this sentence, is how well he knew, okay. Well, I was hoping what you say is how well he knew the Bible, right? But that's actually not what struck me. What struck me was not how well he knew the Bible. It was how well he actually knew God. I was like, wow, he really knows God so well. And maybe it was the way he preached, right? Very different from RT, right? He's just, I almost imagine, he's like, Bobby's in his 70s, I think, but he's so childlike. And I think this is one of the childlike ways. How does a kid tell stories? He's just like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And that was Bobby, right? He's just like, oh, and this, how I imagine, like, oh, I have this best friend, and his name is God. And, you know, if you're friends with someone or married to someone or love someone, you can't help but share about them, right? And that's exactly what Bobby did. He's like, oh, one time this happened with God. Do you want to hear it? Yeah, yeah. All right. Wasn't that amazing? Oh, and this is what he said. This is the verse, blah, blah, blah. And he's just, and that's, so you need to, I know it might have been hard to follow for some of you who were more used to something like RT, right? But if you were able to catch what Bobby was saying and hold on to all those verses, wow, such a blessing. So, as I said, what he caused me to realize is, wow, he really knows God. Not just he knows the Bible, that goes without saying, but he really knows God. So the first point I have to how we can really have good soil, how we can have an understanding heart, how we can grow, is we actually need to have a desire for intimacy with God. Desire intimacy with God. Like, what? Let me ask you something. How would you define intimacy? I'll give you 3 seconds, a few seconds. Just think, how would I define intimacy? And this is not just with God, just in general. It could be with your friends, your parents, your spouse. If you've taken Single Life Workshop or you've taken Love After Marriage, you should know this. So what is intimacy? Intimacy is simply the desire to know someone and also to be known. And when two people come together and they both really want to learn about each other, but also they're open to sharing who they are, then you experience intimacy. And a lot of times in dating, it comes really naturally, right? Especially that first 6 months, honeymoon period. And that's exactly what is going on. You just want to know them, every little thing. You ask something and you just want to keep going deeper and deeper into knowing who they are. And unfortunately, you know, as you date longer or once you get married, especially, and you have kids, you fall into the trap of being, you know, all these other things are busy in your life. The busyness of life. You're just talking about, you know, your kids, where to send them to school, what you need to do, all the logistics, paying taxes, I don't know, right? And you forget oftentimes about the intimacy. And so even in these discipleships, especially for people who are married, you got to go back to just desiring and trying to establish intimacy with one another. And how do you usually establish intimacy in a relationship? Yeah, you spend time with each other. It requires quality time. And in our case, for most of us, or all of us, we talk, right? We communicate. And so that is the approach we take when we read the Word of God, right? We have these spiritual disciplines: reading the Bible, praying, fasting, and worship, right? And even right here, this is our mission statement: to know Him, right? To know Him. That should be the driving force behind all the spiritual disciplines, right? When we read the Word, what are we doing? I mean, hopefully, I think a lot of times when we go to the Word, what happens is we're trying to find something for me, right? I need an answer. I want to go into His Word to find the answer. But really, it's about knowing Him, right? Do you really desire to know Him? And that's what reading the Word is. Prayer. What does prayer do? You're allowing God to know you. You share what is going on in your heart with God, right? And so when we desire intimacy with God, all those things, reading the Bible, reading His Word, we value it, right? Because it's not just about what we get out of it, but it's really about knowing Him. I feel like you guys are low energy. So stay with me. Let's desire intimacy. Yeah. Let's desire intimacy. All right. And then the next one is real submission. Real submission. And I'm not talking about like there's any sort of fake or like middle submission. But what I mean is being real and then submitting. Okay? Being real and then submitting. And I think oftentimes what that means, being real, is we just got to be honest with God. Honest with our disappointments, honest with our desires, honest with, you know, when our feelings are hurt. And sometimes it's hard to do that, right? And that's what being real is. And the submitting is the next step. After you're real with God, then you submit those desires. And so 3-4 years ago, no, this is much more, this is like 13 years ago. This is in maybe 2005. Sorry, multitasking. I can't. I remember going to retreat. And actually, every retreat, I want the exact same thing. Right? And even this year, I asked my people in my house church, what do you want from retreat? And I always express the same thing. I just want to experience God like crazy. I just want to experience Him. I want to be overwhelmed by His presence. I want to just know that I know that He's real and powerful. That's always what I want. So on this particular retreat, that's what I wanted. Because I had an accountability brother. And he always has the craziest manifestations, right? He always falls over. He's weeping. He's crying. He's rolling all over the place. And I'm like, man, God is real. And just to explain a little for those who maybe when you saw what happened at the retreat, people falling. Basically, it's we are natural beings, right? And when the supernatural comes into the natural, we're overwhelmed. That's it, right? And the best illustration is what happens when you plug, if you were to stick your finger into an electricity socket, what happens, right? Are we doing this? No, we're like you're going crazy. And that's basically what happens, right? When the supernatural comes upon us that are natural, we react in kind of a crazy way. So I was desiring that. I wanted to experience God in that way. I knew it was a little embarrassing, and I knew people looked, because I would look, right? Here yelling. And so, but I wanted it. I didn't care, right? I didn't care if I looked stupid or whatever. So I was desiring that. And so I went to retreat, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And I was like, oh, it's cool. It's cool. And then second retreat, nothing happened. Third retreat, this is like a long journey for me. 3 years, nothing happened at the retreat, or it didn't meet my expectation. And of course, my response is, it's all good. It's all good. God is faithful. God is good. There was good fellowship. The games were really fun. It's all good. God is faithful. You know, his ways are higher than my ways. I mean, that's kind of what I say. And it wasn't until I was walking to, at that time we didn't have house church, so we had Bible study. I was walking to the Bible study on Kennedy Road, and suddenly I just had this dialogue with God. And I was just saying, Lord, I'm really disappointed. It really sucks that I want to experience you so badly, and yet nothing happens, right? So finally, I was able to be real with God. And so we need to do that. We want to be real with God, and God wants to know the real you too, right? And for a lot of us, we struggle with that. When we're hurt, we want to say, we're okay. When we're rejected, no big deal. But I want to say to you, it's normal if you're rejected to not enjoy it, okay? That's normal. If you are hurt, it's normal to be sad. And that's actually how God created you, right? So be real, men, be real, right? If you're sad, cry. It's okay. I mean, I know we're still going to be like, so dusty. I know we're still going to do that, but don't be ashamed, right? That's who you are. But we need to get to the second part. Revelation of what's going on in your heart is important, but don't get stuck there. Like, oh yeah, I know I'm bitter. Oh yeah, I know, you know, I'm proud. I know. You need to get to the next part, which is to submit it to God, okay? That's really important. You need the revelation. You need to be real, but then you need to submit it. And so I submitted it. I said, oh, Lord, I'm so disappointed. This sucks. I'm actually kind of feeling a little hopeless. And then I went back to submitting, and I just submitted to God. And so God did something. For some reason, my spirits were lifted, actually, confessing those things. I can't explain it. So anyway, after that, the next retreat came, right? And same thing. It was good. I did that with God. But still, I wanted the same thing. I wanted to experience God supernaturally, overwhelming. So I'm up there, ministry time. And people were coming around to pray. And when someone came around to me and they laid their hand on my head and they started pushing. And I was like a bull. I was like pushing back. So he's like, ugh. I'm like, ugh. Like, we're just like this. I was definitely like Michael Jackson, like, mm. And in my head, I was like, no, I do not want to be pushed down. If I'm going to experience God in a supernatural, overwhelming way, it needs to be legit. I don't want someone to push me down, because then what's that? That's just someone pushing me down, right? And so while that was going on in my head and I'm resisting, God suddenly speaks to me. He says, hey, even if this guy's pushing you, I can still come and touch you in an overwhelming way. And I was like, whoa. You know, I had put God in a box and thought the only way I can experience him is in this way where like no one touches me and boom, right? So at that point, I just surrendered, right? And I just let him guide me and push me down. And so I fell. And then at that moment, when I fell, it was crazy. It was crazy. How my wife describes it, it's kind of embarrassing. She says, I looked like a cockroach on its back. So I was on my back, and my legs are like, I'm going like, I'm kind of doing this. And of course, the two people I really care about, my wife and Pastor Sam, I just hear them laughing. Laughing over me. And so I'm aware of this. And, you know, despite that, I was totally embarrassed, totally self-conscious, but still, I was just so glad that I got to experience God in that way. And even now, there's part of me that fears being that happening again. But still, I'm like, okay, but then I submitted, Lord, I still, you know, whatever you will, let your will, not mine. And so in Matthew 26, verse 39, okay, it says, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Right? So Jesus didn't want to experience that. He didn't want to go through that torture and have to carry the cross and then have a separation with God. He was real. He was real with the Father, shared what was really going on, but in the end, he submitted it. He said, yet not as I will, but as your will. Amen? Amen. And so after that, after he submits it, you know, he went to the cross, and after the cross, what happened? Resurrection power. And that's exactly my experience as well, right? Those things that you're dealing with, you submit it to the Lord, right? And just as in this case, it was my disappointment of not experiencing. After I submit it, then the resurrection power comes, right? And so the third and final one is radical obedience, okay? Radical obedience. And so Nate, he spent a lot of time with Bobby, and he said to him, how can I grow in the prophetic? How can I grow in the prophetic? Bobby's so prophetic. How can I grow? Do you guys want to know? Okay. And this is what Bobby said. He said, whatever Jesus tells you to do, just do it. If you don't take care of step one, there will not be a step two. Ooh. I'll say it again. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, you do it. If you don't take care of step one, there won't be a step two. That's it. Just radical obedience. I want to just also point out all these three things I listed. Desire for intimacy, being real and submitting, radical obedience. These are all things that would be good for just relationships in general, right? Your spouse, your friends, desiring intimacy with them, that's going to take your friendships to the next level. Submitting, well, not submitting, but being real, right? Being real, letting people know who you really are. And we learned this in single life, right? Letting someone know the real you, and then they affirm that, oh, brings such freedom. And then even the radical obedience, right? If my wife tells me to do something and I don't do it right away, it's going to affect the relationship. And there will be no step two, right? It is just friendship 101. If someone asks you, hey, can you do this? And you say yes, it builds a relationship. If you say, the person says no, you probably aren't going to ask them anymore, right? If someone's late all the time, right? that's going to affect your relationship. If they're on time, then you can rely on them, right? So all these things, at the end of the day, it's about building relationship. Oh, Chris. And just to give extra motivation to the parents, right, to really strive for a understanding heart, to have good soil, to grow. This is what Bobby gave us, this verse. And it's from Isaiah 44, 3 to 4. You don't have to go there. But to kind of paraphrase it, it says, parents, if you are hungry and thirsty for the Lord, your children will be blessed and they will grow. So do it for your children. I know we would do anything for our children. We would give up our lives for our children. But will you be hungry and thirsty for the Lord? Set down good soil. So as the worship team leads us, could we all rise to our feet? All rise to our feet. And as they worship, we can respond. And I want to just open up the altar today for us. Open the altar. If you desire to have good soil, a desire to grow, where retreat wasn't just a high, right? Where we just had this amazing experience and we just go back to our normal lives. No. But to really set good soil so that the word of God would come and that we would bear fruit 30, 50, 100 times, right? So if you are really just feel led to come to the altar and just really commit to growing, to loving His Word, read His Word and pray, not because you have to, but because you really just desire intimacy with God and have that as the motive and not out of earning, I just want to invite you to the front, kneel before the Lord, and I'd love to pray for you.
Take my heart, lay it down at the feet, you whose crown, take my life. Let it go, lift it up, yes. You whose throne. Take my heart, take my heart, lay it down at the feet, you whose crown. Worship. I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord. I will bow down before you, only you, Lord. you, Lord. will bow down for you, only you, Lord. Only you, Lord. Take my heart. So take my heart, I lay it down at the feet of you who's crowned. Take my life, I'm letting go, lift it up to you who's throne. And I will worship you, Lord. I will bow down you, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. You are my Savior. Pour out upon your church. Pour out upon your church. We lift up our hearts, lift up our lives to you, singing, and I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord, and I will bow down before you, only you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about you, Lord. And forgive us if we made it about something else. The distractions, the world. Forgive us, Lord, if we made it about something else. We just want to make it about you, Lord. Audience of one. Just you and us, God. And Lord, I just pray over the congregation today. All those who are up here, Lord. I pray for a greater thirst, a greater hunger for you, for your word, for your presence. Every aspect, Lord, we would hunger for it. And the more we hunger, the more we see how much more that we need of you, Lord. Let that hunger and thirst just multiply in that same way, Lord. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to really growing. We want to have an understanding and open heart. Always a non-critical, non-judgmental heart. So receptive to your word, Lord, that we would be good soil where those seeds would multiply and bear fruit 100 times in our lives, God, all for your glory's sake. We thank you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's give a clap offering. If you would like to receive more prayer, we have the well up at front who would love to minister you. Otherwise, have a great week.